The blue zones around the world vary so much culturally, but they have a lot of dietary practices that are very similar. Scientists believe that these dietary practices are helping them live longer. In this podcast, I'm going to share with you five of the most important foods that you need to eat to be able to live longer.
You're watching the Dr. Jake Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dr. Jake Podcast. I'm Dr. Jake Schmutz. I'm an integrative doctor and naturopathic physician. And in this podcast, I share with you how to heal your body down to the root causes without harmful drugs or surgeries. I'm here with my co-host, Teresa Marit, to talk about five blue zone foods you can start eating today for greater health and longevity.
I'm so excited to talk about this with you, Dr. Jake. I know we had an episode before where we talked a bit about blue zones and, you know, kind of just gave an overview of what they were and what the major differences were between how they lived and how we live and so forth. But to be able to really dig into five foods that are accessible, right? They're not weird. They're not foods that we can never find in America, specifically since that's where we are located and where most of our listeners are from. So it'll be really nice, I think, to be able to get some actual takeaways that we can start implementing today. Before we do, in case somebody did not watch that prior episode, can you give us an overview on what a blue zone is? And then we can jump into the foods that we can start eating.
What is a blue zone? A blue zone is an area in the world where there are a ton of centennials, people that are living 100 years or longer. These are the areas in the world where we have the oldest people. This is in like places like Ikaria, Greece, Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Coya, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California are some of the big blue zone areas. Today, we're going to talk about why they're living so long.
When I'm listening to that list, I actually used to live in Southern California, fairly close to Loma Linda. And so immediately when I saw that name come up, I'm like, oh, I bet I know why they're on that list. Because I lived a couple of cities away from them, but Loma Linda had this huge community of Seventh-day Adventists. And they have a big college out there, and it's actually a Seventh-day Adventist college, and just so many people there that are of that faith. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what's so different about the Seventh-day Adventist community? They're vegans, or at least vegetarians. They're either vegetarians or vegans. So I know that they eat a lot of plants. And so I'm suspicious, Dr. J, if you're going to bring up a plant-based diet on this list, because that's the only thing I can think of as to why Loma Linda, California will be on this list for blue zones. Jump into number one then. What is the first food that we can start eating today that people from these regions eat?
The number one food that I wanted to talk about today that is what people in the blue zone regions eat is they eat a lot of leafy greens. So spinach, kale, collard greens, chard, the top of the radishes, they eat a lot of that. So these are extremely healthy, nutrient-packed foods that are low in calories, tons of nutrients in there, a lot of anti-cancer constituents in there, tons of fiber. So it makes a lot of sense why they're living longer just for that reason, because they're eating a lot of these foods. So number two, and this is a really cool one too, is they eat a lot of locally grown fruits and vegetables. So the key here is local. So many of them have their own gardens, and many times they have community gardens where they get their food. So it's grown right there and it's able to ripen on the vine. And when that happens, it's able to get a lot more nutrients in there. So the food that we get a lot of times is picked early, like a tomato. It's picked green and then it's put on like a boat or it's put on a ship or it's put on a truck or whatever. And then it sits in the store for a while and ripens till it's green. That's not having its full nutrient profile to it. So they are actually eating a lot of locally raised grown food. And they're not eating a lot of processed foods also. So they're eating a lot of those fruits, vegetables in the good, healthy form. And obviously, we've heard a lot, you need to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. They're eating a lot of that and they're eating it local. So they're getting a lot more nutrients than we are normally if we're not eating locally grown fruits and vegetables.
Now, I want to jump in there then and say a big takeaway here, okay, that I'm taking is eat more leafy greens and go get your fruits and vegetables from a farmer's market, a local farm, or a grocery store that happens to buy a lot of locally grown fruits and vegetables. I imagine your local major markets aren't going to be those places. Finding more local markets, definitely those farmers markets for sure. All right. Number three, Dr. Jake, what do you have?
Number three is they eat a lot of beans. So like Teresa said, they are plant-based. They are 95% plant-based. And where are they getting a lot of the protein? It's coming from beans. So why are beans so healthy? For one, is they're not eating a lot of meat and they're getting their protein from beans. That's a good benefit. But also it's high in the protein. It's high in fiber. It's also high in B vitamins, zinc, calcium, and potassium. A lot of these nutrients I talked about are actually really high in meat. So we're able to get all the goodies that a lot of the goodies that come from meat without some of the mal effects that can happen from meat. That's what's great about beans, especially like the zinc. You get a lot of that from meat, but you get a lot of that in the beans too. B vitamins, not B12 though. We do need to eat a little bit of meat, and the people in the blue zone do need some meat, just not a lot. And that brings me into number four. So they eat meat sparingly, very small amount of meat. Like I said, 95% of their diet is plant-based. So meat is more like a side dish. It's not a main dish when they eat it. They do tend to eat a lot more fish. They eat fish 1 to 3 times per week, depending on the region, but they are only eating 3 ounces or less of fish, which is a small little portion of fish there. And they do eat other meat sometimes, but they're going to eat that maximum 5 times a month. And they're eating very small amounts of that type of meat. It could be pork, beef, chicken. And usually this is locally raised food also in that region. They're not usually getting it from other areas. What's so bad about meat? I'm not an anti-meat guy. We just need to not eat as much as we usually are of meat. We need to eat it sparingly because it does tend to be high in insulin growth factor, which helps us build big muscles, but it can promote cancer growth and lead to other diseases like cardiovascular diseases. Also really high in saturated fats, not high in the omega-9s and omega-9 fatty acids, except if you're doing it grass-fed. So that's probably a big reason why they're living longer is they're not eating a ton of meat that possibly could be detrimental to our health if we eat a lot of it. Number five reason is that they eat a lot of fermented foods. So we've heard a lot about fermented foods and they eat a lot of them. So this is how they actually store their food for long periods of time is they ferment it. They don't do a lot of canning at all. They either ferment or they dry their food. So fermenting examples is maybe they're fermenting radishes or carrots or green beans, cabbage, all these things. They all taste great. You even can ferment blueberries. I had that in Maine recently. Awesome. Really tastes really great. So there's a lot of awesome foods that you can ferment that taste great. And you're getting all the benefits that happen from the probiotics and prebiotics that you get from these fermented foods. And what's so great about drying their food instead of canning the food? Drying their food, they're able to let it ripen on the vine, and then they dry it really quick. They either use old school practices, or maybe they're, I don't know what they're doing now. Maybe they're doing the drying machines that we have that are really fancy that even work even better because they don't have to sit out in the sun and sit there for a long period of time and dry. But this is able to maintain its nutrient value much better than canning. So what's the problem with canning? Canning, first off, they add a ton of sugar or they add a lot of salt to be able to can food. Secondary, they heat it at high temperatures for a while and you're killing all the nutrients. So when you're canning a food, you're not getting a ton of nutrients from the food. You might be getting the calories, but not getting a ton of nutrients. How they actually preserve the food is a lot smarter than most of us.
It's interesting that you say that because we're here, Dr. Jake and I are both recording this from Utah. And Utah is, canning is just like, it's synonymous with Utah. Like, it's part of what you do. You move to Utah, you have a basement and you can, right? Is that because we have a lot of snow in the winter and your gardens, the gardens are done. Like, they're covered in snow. Mm-hmm. How are you going to be able mm-hmm. to, all the abundance of anything that you were growing in your garden? I find that the people who can are the ones who garden. And they got an abundance mm-hmm. of tomatoes that year, peaches, and they don't want to make it go to waste. And you can it, right? That's mm-hmm. and it seems like that's a good idea. You're saving the food that you have. You're able to eat some more of the food that you grew in your garden over the winter. But the downside is the sugar and the salt that's needed. And these people instead ferment. I think as Utahns, this is something that we can all, anybody who's listening who's from this state or other states that are similar to Utah where canning is a common practice, switching over to a more of a fermentation would be a better bet. Now, I don't know a whole lot about fermentation other than what you've shared, Dr. Jake. Do you know how long fermented foods last? Do they last as long as canned foods? Do you have to put it in the refrigerator? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So how long do fermented foods last? They can last a really long time, 1 or 2 years, maybe even longer, depending on the food and how it's done. But yeah, if you ferment it appropriately, it can last a really long time. Not quite as long as canning, I don't think. I'm not an expert on that. So good question. But usually people eat their food during the winter and they're eating all that during that winter time, and then they're replenishing it again with their gardens.
The blueberries that you said that you ate that were fermented.
Yeah.
What did that taste like? Does it just taste does it taste like kombucha? Like, how does that work?
So what did the blueberries I had in Maine tasted like? It tasted slightly vinegary and sweet. It was a great combo. It was like a sweet and sour was what it was, with a blueberry sweet and sour. It was awesome on a salad. Great.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to learning more about that. Throwing away, burning all my canning books and getting out my fermented bugs. Awesome. Thank you so much for this, Dr. Jake. So if we do this, we've got the 5 foods here from the Blue Zone diet. Is that all we need to live a Blue Zone life, or what else might be needed?
So all we need is actually follow a good diet like I talked about? No, there's a lot more that they're doing in the Blue Zones area than just following this diet. And probably maybe just as important, maybe even more important things to do than just following this diet. So if you want to learn more about that, you got to listen to our next video where we're going to be talking about different lifestyle habits that you follow to be able to live longer.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to that, Dr. Jake. Thank you so much for your expertise today. For everyone who's listening, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know by leaving us a positive review. And we'll see you all next week.
Hey, Dr. Jake, thank you for your time today. And if you enjoyed the show, then do us a favor and leave a review. It helps more people to find the show, which could save their life. And remember, this is a podcast and should not replace personalized attention from a medical professional like Dr. Jake. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, cancer of any stage, or a life-changing illness, visit our website today and schedule a virtual appointment with one of our doctors who can lead you to a treatment plan in your area. That's integrativemedica.com. Integrative, MEDICA.com.
Thank you for listening to the Integrative Medica podcast with Dr. Jake. To hear past episodes and get alerts for the future, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform and be sure to follow us on YouTube as well. Just search for Integrative Medica with Dr. Jake.